Good afternoon, this is Bill Young, and welcome to Prayer and Lunch Podcast. Today we're doing a special podcast, and it's going to be at Ave Maria University. And we're actually doing it in a cafeteria, so it's very appropriate for lunchtime prayers. And I have a special guest. I was looking at my food. Are you still hungry, bro?
No, I forgot your first name, so I was looking at your name again. Okay, Bill. Sorry, Bill.
And would you like to introduce yourself? And he's an ordained brother for the Franciscans.
Yes.
And
not ordained, because brothers aren't ordained.
We're not. They, yeah, they know that.
The term is professed.
Professed. Okay.
Yes, we profess a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience,
okay.
Which is the trifold vow of a Franciscan. You can be ordained if you join the priesthood.
Okay.
You know, so the ordination is the same.
Right, right.
If you're a diocesan priest or a priest within the order, but I haven't gotten that far yet.
And brother, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
I lived there for almost 40 years of my life.
Oh, great.
I was in the corporate banking world, and I was a executive for a large banking organization. And then I moved to Florida after that.
What part of Florida?
Cape Coral.
Okay.
And I did that when the real estate market was at its high point.
Wow. Gave
and,
up everything.
Well, I left everything behind in Chicago to pursue real estate.
Okay.
My fortune. I was going for my fortune at 40. And I was very successful. I was a senior executive for a Fortune 200 home builder in Cape Coral. And had everything that the secular life leads you to believe is important.
Right.
I had cars, I had homes, I had properties, and I had money, most of all. I was living the high life. And then in 2006, 2007, when the real estate market crashed, the two sectors that I did professionally was banking and home building, and both were decimated by the market. I found myself without a job, without a home, without any money, with no cars, and no identity. I didn't know who I was. I was angry that God took everything that I had and fought my whole life for to achieve. And saw no end. Subsequently to that, I found myself faced first in tears at the local parish church outside at midnight one night in front of a statue of Our Lady in the grotto.
Wow.
And I distinctly remember hearing her say, "I came down from my throne in heaven to rescue you, and from this day forward you belong to me." And after that, I pursued religious life. And
When was that?
That was about 4 years, 4.5 years ago. 5 years, including discerning where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. So about 5 years in total. Now I am nobody. I own nothing. I know nothing. And
Some of us would dispute that, but go ahead.
Well, that's how I feel, and
you don't feel that now, though, do you?
I do. I want to be the littlest of servants in the eyes of God.
But you're definitely not.
Well, it's perception. Yeah. Perception is that's to the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So that's a question that, to me, I would like to remain small and humble and do what I need to do for what the Lord has commissioned me to do. And I'm happy. I'm happier than...
What do you do, actually?
No, right now, I am the CEO of Mercy Mission Incorporated, which is in Fort Myers.
Okay.
And what I'm doing is I'm spearheading a missionary group that has just broken ground in Haiti.
Oh, great.
And we're building the city of the Immaculata, which was what Fink Maximilian Kolbe wanted to do.
It's my parish.
Okay, very good. My partner that you met over there, the Scottish lady, Anne Morrow.
Okay.
She is a secular Franciscan,
and
it's her vision that she received many years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I have another partner, Bob, who's in our organization, and the three of us came together, and now we are working with the Pontifical Mission Society. Mm-hmm. We have our website, which is www. Yes,
on the card.
Yeah, mercymission.biz.
Okay.
And everybody can find out about our mission there. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, if you like, I can also put an advertising link on there
sure.
for you. And I can even use this picture if you want me to. It's okay.
If it's what the Lord desires, sure.
Well, you know, I don't believe, like the Father said, there's no such thing as accidents.
Yes.
Everything's for a reason. That's
there's no coincidence.
That's why when you sat next to me, you said, oh, yeah, the Lord gave me it. And then he left. I said, maybe he didn't have nothing for me.
Yeah. No. Well, I appreciate it's a pleasure being here with you and being interviewed for, you know, with you. I don't think I have a lot to offer, but...
That's the opposite of your story. I mean, yeah. you're like... And my son is 24 years old. He's a prodigal son right now. But he's on the fast lane.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's only 23, but he thinks, you know, the money thing and everything, the travel.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Right.
But God just like, he doesn't even believe in God anymore.
Yeah.
And he was an altar server. He went for, I mean, we just, all the years, he said, Dad, we're just doing that for you. So.
Is he in college?
Yeah, he was in UCF, but he dropped out. He's doing great in business. He's in app business. But he, you know, he has to find, come back to God.
Yeah.
But. Stories like yours, it's like the money is not. He's trying to find out now because he's traveling all over, like from Spain, Italy, Rome. He's going away once a month. Yeah, the money can afford it. It was his girlfriend, but he just realizes travel is unhappy. It's not. He can't find that happiness.
Yeah.
And so you're the perfect.
I'm very familiar with that feeling.
You can't find that happiness.
No, you can't.
You can have, what's the difference? You know, what was the exact quote in the Bible when you could have basically the whole world, or you have the next world? Doesn't mean it's what's on this world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, who are the most unhappiest people on the planet are the people in Hollywood.
Exactly.
They have stardom, they have money, they have everything that the secular life tells them
exactly.
makes you happy. And you're absolutely right. They're killing themselves left and right. They have drug abuse, drug
exactly.
overdoses. And, you know, so that's it right there, you know. There is something that you get out of a spiritual happiness that you can't get out of money, fast cars, living in the fast lane.
Right.
And it just, it's the truth and it's the reality. Once you find the Eucharist
right.
and you understand what the Eucharist is and what it means, it's the pearl of great price.
So that's you would tell our listeners the one thing that they can do?
What I would say is Eucharistic adoration, period.
Okay.
The Eucharist is everything. It's the source and it's the summit of our faith. It's Jesus Christ present in time and space to us. Now, if I walked out onto the street and I said, hey, Justin Bieber was playing at the Barbara B. Mann, there would be a line
sure.
that would be 6 miles long.
Absolutely, yeah.
But every day, Jesus Christ, the creator of the yeah. universe, the God of everything, sits in the tabernacle and it's sparse. Tumbleweeds pass by. And that is mind-boggling, but I understand it because I was there.
Right.
And I understand your son because I was there. And I have nieces and nephews that are in the same exact boat. But what you have to remember, and this is what Father Bill Casey and some of the other ones we're talking about today, is that it's the core values that you instill in them that will bring them back.
Right. That's my
And
wife
I promise you that that's going to happen.
My wife tells me that all
yeah.
the time.
And aside from adoration, is the power of the rosary.
Okay.
The power of the rosary
today, yes.
is, I mean, I can't even say enough for the power of the rosary.
My son wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the rosary. Because,
oh, yeah.
My wife, three out of the four children miscarried, and he was the second one, and she was again in bed rest, bleeding, and you know, they said, you know, didn't look too good, so we both started the rosary, and within a week after doing the rosary together, everything was fine, and had a perfect pregnancy, and it, you know, yeah. Healthy young man.
Well, it's very powerful. It and is. I can tell you honestly, I attribute everything that happened in my life to the recitation of the rosary from my mother. A mother praying the rosary is probably the single most powerful weapon that you can have. And a dad, too.
Exactly.
Mom and dad together, obviously.
Exactly. Double makes it.
Father Peyton said, the family that prays together stays together, right?
So,
but my mother, to me, is she will never be defined as a saint in this world. But I know,
right.
And the Lord knows, that she
is
a saint.
Well, anyone's a saint who's gone to heaven. So,
yes.
Yeah, so she's a saint.
Yes.
Never.
I guarantee. Well, she hasn't gone to heaven yet, thank God. Yet.
Oh,
thank
she's
God
living.
She's still living.
Oh, okay.
But I, from the time I was an infant, I don't recall one day that my mother didn't have the rosary in her hand.
Wow.
Not one
that's
day.
A blessing.
And I've
and
been through some.
And the fruits of that is you.
Oh, I haven't even scratched the surface, Bill. I was involved in two deadly accidents in my life where I totaled two cars in 2 years, and I should have never walked
away.
My
advice to you, I think next year you're going to be talking here. Because you have to give that message.
I do have a major testimony.
Yeah, exactly.
But I only have one problem.
What's that? You don't like to talk?
I don't. I have a fear of public speaking.
Holy Spirit, you're doing great with me. So,
well, I appreciate it.
The Holy Spirit... Because I always thought I had a lousy voice. I don't know what I'm doing this for. He told me to do it, but I'm doing it, Lord. But I don't. I listened. My first 8 years, I would listen to something.
Yeah.
And so, when the Holy Spirit wants you to do something, just let Him do it.
Yeah.
Put it on Him.
Well, I seem to be a little bit better when I'm interviewed. Now,
yeah,
if you put me up in the podium in front of everybody and I'm at my own.
We could do this. I tell you what. We could just do it like two chairs sitting. Like
that would be perfect,
right.
Like the Tonight Show.
Exactly. Well,
you could be Johnny Carson.
Well, I don't want to be Johnny Carson. I want something a little bit nicer.
Raymond Arroyo from EWTN.
Okay,
the
yes.
World over.
Okay, yes.
There you go.
That'd be great. And I appreciate it. I don't know how much time we have here.
I still have a couple of minutes.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So, okay, let me get your mind a little bit going.
Okay.
To me, it's an impossibility. I can't even imagine it. How on earth can anyone even believe or state there's no God? I mean, look at this guy. How would you talk to someone who does not believe there's a God at all? I mean, that's like the basic, but, you know, how would you talk to someone like that?
Well, you know, they say that there is no real way that you can define that God exists by using theory.
Right, okay.
And I think that that's that way for a reason. I don't think God wants there to be a scientific absolute that He exists, because He wants you to come to Him on your own,
right?
And I get what you're saying. I'm a Franciscan, and Franciscan spirituality is about seeing God in everything.
Right.
I see God in a blade of grass.
Right.
I see God in a caterpillar. I see God by looking at a cloud, by looking at a tree. To me, God is everywhere. I see you. I see God. I see God I see the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of everybody that I meet, whether it's a criminal, a drug addict, or a poor person. It doesn't matter.
So if I was an atheist and I said, "Brother, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. God, what is God? Show me God. I don't see God." What are you going to tell them?
Well, normally they don't say that. What they tell me is, when you can prove that fairy tale in the sky is real, I'll believe you. And then I always come back with, well, when you can prove to me that there is no God, then I'll come back to you. So I kind of always turn the table around. But to me, you know, for those who believe, there's no reasoning necessary.
No doubt about it.
And for those who do not believe, there's no reasoning that I can give them. It's a matter of faith, you know. You know, I have told people about, you know, if I refer to scripture, I say, where have you ever read anything with the profound meaning that when you read scripture, I mean, you're talking about people that 2,000 years ago in the New Testament. Yeah, they say it's made up, but if I wonder if they've ever read it. Because when you read it, I mean, I don't know of anybody that can write. 2,000 years later, I don't know of anybody that can write like that. Exactly. I mean, and aside from that, you know, well, for example, the miracles and things like that, you know. I mean, I could simply tell somebody, go do some research on the image of Guadalupe, for example. It's defied scientists. The most smartest people that have ever existed have done research on the image of Guadalupe. To me, that one thing is unexplainable.
Right.
And if you can, I've always said, if you can prove to me something scientific about that, then I will become an atheist. But that's just one aspect. We don't want that. But I know that they'd never be able to.
Right.
But see, that's one aspect of our faith. Our faith, our church that has survived 2,000 years, okay, of, and this is since the time of Jesus, persecution, dictatorship, world wars, atheism, the sex abuse scandals.
Lady of Fatima predicted all this.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, and...
But we know that because we believe.
Right.
These people, they don't even want to go there. Because
no.
If they don't believe how the sky and earth was made, how... That can believe on
Now, earth. You know, these are the same people that say that everything came from the Big Bang.
Right.
And then when you ask them the simplest... When you distill it and you bring it down to the simplest question, how did something come from nothing? If there was nothing... You're talking a Big Bang. How did something come out of nothing? Which is the very first point of their argument, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And they can't answer that.
Yeah.
So, to me, right from that beginning, you need a creator that created something. Because if you don't have a creator, then, you know, if you look at nothing, you know, try to define nothing. So, if you have nothing... How do you get something from nothing? You can't. It's
exactly.
It's unexplainable. You can't have that. So that in itself completely undermines their theory right from the very beginning.
Right.
So it's not so much I need to prove to them that there's a God. They need to prove to me that there isn't a God.
True.
You know?
I always use the old adage where I said, well, if you're right and I die, nothing happens.
Right.
But if I'm right and you're wrong, then something could seriously happen, and you may not like where that's going to happen.
You're absolutely right.
And so that's why I kind of explain it. You know, okay, maybe, you know, far, far away, for some reason, you are right.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens. We just die, and that's it. You know, go back to sleep, go back where you were before
right.
you were born.
Right. You got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Everybody's got a little bit of a gambling spirit, right?
Exactly.
Are you willing to take that bet? That's that's what it boils down to, right? That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. I want to cover all my bets, and that's to make sure.
That's 100%. How I feel. I mean, you know, if you're gonna lay the bet, I would much rather bet on living my life. And listen, it isn't that hard being a faithful Catholic.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like it's not fun. I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of enjoyment. I goof off with my pals. I can play sports. I love music. I can go out and enjoy a great meal. I can go to the show. I can go to Broadway. I can do pretty much everything that the only thing that I don't need to do is I don't have to kill anybody.
Right.
I don't have to do drugs. I don't have to get drunk, which, you know, I mean, it isn't that difficult to be a faithful. And in the end, like you said, I take the bet, and if I die, and like you said, there's nothing there, what have I lost, you know? But if there's that one
whatever it is,
tenth of a percent that there is something there.
And you want to be on the right side.
That's eternity. Exactly. That's forever.
Now, one thing that he gives a point, he says, well, what happens at Goodby? His girlfriend's father actually teaches at a Catholic college, has a doctorate, and he's like very educated. He's an atheist. But he, according to my son, he's a good person. His family has morals, gives 10% to charity, a lot more than a lot of Catholics do. And so he said, like, he's a good person. And I kind of say, well, if he's really that good, God's going to find a way to get him on it. God's not going to abandon him because he's really a good person. God will see that. For some reason, somehow, I'm hoping it's for him, and then the whole, you know, chain of events is going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my feeling. What do you feel about that? Someone
well,
who's a good person,
yeah,
but they don't believe in God.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever undermine God's mercy. I mean, it's infinite and it has no end. You know, I'm always reminded of a story of a lady that came to St. Padre Pio for confession.
Right.
And she was crying and crying and crying and crying in the confessional. And Padre Pio said, "Why do you weep?" And she said, "Because my son, who was fallen away and involved in all sorts of mortal sin, yesterday jumped off of a bridge and committed suicide. And it is killing me that now he will suffer eternity in hell." And crying and crying and crying, uncontrollable. And Padre Pio interrupted her and said, "And who told you that your son is in hell?" And she said, "Well, because that's the teaching." And Padre Pio said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, in the moments that your son stepped foot off the bridge and before he landed to his death, the Lord Jesus came to him and said, 'Do you receive my mercy and want to be with me in heaven?' And your son said, 'Yes.' And your son is in eternity with the Lord." So, you know, to me, that shows the power of God's divine mercy.
Exactly.
And that's why when it says, "Do not judge," because we don't have the capacity to understand the depths of God's mercy.
Exactly.
And obviously, it's, you know, as a Catholic, you need to constantly, in a merciful way, remind people, you're going down the wrong road, and I'm
exactly.
afraid, I love you, and I'm afraid for you. Pray. Pray. Change. Think about changing. Can I pray for you? Can I do something to help you? Can I talk to you or something? That's always the merciful way. But I don't believe in trying to determine whether anybody will go to heaven. Obviously, in a lot of the revelations, and especially in the Divine Mercy, Jesus talks about an abundance of souls that are being lost and going to hell.
Right.
But we don't know what that is. We can't conceive of that.
Right.
But even until the end of time, prior to the soul, because we understand scientifically that there is a moment of time where even when you take your last breath, that there is a gap of time that the soul leaves the body. And because God operates outside of time and space, that moment to us, which could be a nanosecond, second, to God is an infinite amount of time to pour his mercy on you and forgive you.
Last year, you have an opportunity, Father Chris Aguilar, I think his last name, the Marian priest, talked about specifically suicide, and he had a family member, and he said basically the divine mercy, as you just said, God has no time. We're the one who puts time on everything, but God has no time.
Mm-hmm.
And he stated you could do divine mercy prayers.
Yeah.
And actually God would know it, that you were going to do it.
Yeah.
And it saves that from back that time, because really there's no time.
Yeah.
And he said that's what he does.
Yeah.
He did that for his family member, and that was better. So
God uses prayers of a mother, a father, a family member, and he can utilize that prayer in the past, in the future, or in the present, because God is present in all three, always.
No
right. There is no time.
We make up the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And God knew we were going to do this prayer in whatever time was.
Yeah.
In the future, I guess, in our case.
And you bring up an interesting point, because the church has redefined its thought on suicide. Exactly. Before, the old school teaching was if you committed suicide, you went to hell.
Right, that's it. Exactly.
But this, now with mental illness, depression, people that are victims of abuse all their life, there are a lot of mitigating circumstances.
It's not a normal thing, but mentally, that's right.
For example, Robin Williams. Here was a guy who made a lot of people laugh, was very charitable. He had a mental illness. He had, the way his serotonin uptake was, the way his brain worked, things of that nature. People have legitimate illnesses, especially somebody who is a victim from childhood of sexual abuse, incest, things of that nature. That define the way they think. Are you thinking that God is not merciful enough to know the type of torture that that individual has succumbed to their whole life and wouldn't use that as a compensating factor, so to speak? We can't set any parameters on God because we can't think like God. We have a tendency of bringing God down to our human level and our human understanding.
Yeah.
But that's, you can't do that because eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You know, we don't know anything
in comparison. That I realized a long time ago.
Right.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the privilege.
Maybe we should add a song later on. We'll do part two.
yeah, that would be great.
You're a great speaker.
Thank you.
We should definitely put you on the stage next year.
Why don't we do a little prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, please. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.